I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends his Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, hello there. It's been a while. My sidekick will be on with me today. However, he'll only be able to give us this first half hour. So I'm going to bring him on now. And he's waiting for someone, one of his brother priests. And so he'll only be able to give us a half hour. So with that, let me bring him on. Father, are you there?
I'm here.
Good to have you on.
Good to be here. Good to be here.
I'm going to leave you open and you know, begin so that we can get you in for that.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Okay, great. Because today is the feast of the Apostle St. James. So I have the Gospel opened up today.
Good.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Matthew chapter 20, verses 23-28. The mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit one at your right and one the other at your left in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the chalice that I'm going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left is not mine to give, but it is those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm going to break this open a little bit, Kathleen, see where the Spirit moves us, because there's actually a couple of beautiful points that you can really open up here. A little bit of a background for our listeners. St. James was not the first martyr of the church. It was St. Stephen. But St. James was the first of the 12 apostles to be martyred. Now, remember, with the exception of St. John, they all gave them their lives up for Christ. James was the first. James was returning to Jerusalem. He was on fire with the Holy Spirit. He was proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ in a world where King Herod was still alive, the same Herod that threw him over to Pontius Pilate. And Herod felt, you know, that this coup was going to go against me. And Herod had him arrested, and he had him beheaded. And Herod's, if you want to call it his reign, was so afraid of the Christians, and he was so anti, that he actually forbade the apostles or any of his disciples to bury St. James. Hence the tradition that his body was carried and buried properly in Compostela in Spain. You know, the way when people take the St. James Way,
yes,
the walk to Compostela.
The steps, yep.
That's really where the tradition comes from. Herod was so angry, he wouldn't even let the man be buried in his own soil where he grew up. So it's a fascinating kind of a history as to how this formed. And what happens here is very important. James is one of the apostles. They say he was one of the relatives of Jesus. We're not sure, but it could very well be. But the fact was, he's one of the men that was in the boat where Jesus says, why don't you put the nets down and come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He was also one of the three apostles that came up. Remember Peter, James, and John to Mount Tabor, where he was witness to the transfiguration. So it was coming. These were men that had seen and experienced and witnessed far more than some of the average people on the street. The intimacy of being with Jesus 24/7, if you will, 365 days of the year. And I would imagine, and if perhaps I can put it into the angle of a human, on the human perspective, I would imagine that they probably were getting a little bit cocky. Jesus was becoming very popular. They knew the power that was behind it on a human level. And suddenly, like when the crowds would come, you know, the apostles were probably there as if you will, counsel and, if you will, security detail. You can't get to Jesus unless you come through me, that type of a thing. I know, name-dropping type stuff. And it comes to the point where the mother gets involved. And here it's really interesting. She comes, does him homage. This is one of those points where maybe she realizes, wow, this is even bigger than any of us ever thought. And Jesus reads her heart. Jesus says to her, Mom, what is it that you're asking? And that's when she says, now notice the words that's used. Command that these two sons of mine sit at your left and your right in your kingdom. I mean, talk about forwardness.
Right.
Talk about really putting your request straight out. And Jesus doesn't get angry with her. This is what I find so interesting. Nor does he say yes, nor does he say no. He turns around and says, really? I'm going to ask you and I'm going to ask your boys, will you be able to do what I'll be able to do? And that's where he kind of prophesizes the fact that when you become an apostle of Jesus, you will have to suffer for him, and some to even to the point of shedding their blood. Now, the last couple of days in the gospel readings, we've been hearing about doing the will of God. A lot of what Jesus has been teaching in the Gospel of Matthew is right now is following my Father's will. And here is a perfect example. He's the mom prayed, Kathleen. The mom prayed for kind of a transactional type of thing. Why don't you do this? You know, rather than the prayers of kind of supplication or thanksgiving or the prayers of pleading, if you will. And Jesus is saying, no, have any of you prayed that God's will be done? because in God's will, there's something even greater. And I think that is a poignant lesson for us. One, how do we pray? You know, Jesus taught us to pray for the Our Father, but in the Our Father is that actual petition, your will be done, Lord. Not my way, but yours. Mm. And here's this mother saying, I'm asking for something that's so outrageous. I mean, if it's not, like almost putting her sons on the pedestal of Jesus himself. You know, would you do that? And he says, hey, that's not up to me at all. But then you have to ask the next question. How do you get to God's kingdom? By following his will. Where God places us, he has a room for us. He most definitely has space for us, and he's waiting for us. But where it's allotted to depends on how much and how well we follow his will. So there's the challenge, and it was interesting because he didn't say yes, and he didn't say no.
Yeah.
But then he starts saying, you want to follow the will? This is how you follow the will. Don't walk around lording it over saying, hey, I know Jesus. You want to see him today? You know, give me a call, and I'll get you in. Because that's kind of like what was happening.
Right.
You're going to be a servant? You need to serve. Don't be afraid to roll up your sleeves. Don't be afraid to get spit on, ridiculed, and even rejected. A real servant is the one who leads, but who leads not by lording over, not by letting everybody know that they have power, but leading through service, an absolute service. And the fruit of service, beautifully put by Mother Teresa. She talks about the fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is service. The fruit of service is peace. And it's like a peace that, you know, that comes into our hearts. It doesn't make our lives any easier, Kathleen.
True.
The service gives the heart a sense of peace because we're not doing it for ourselves now. We realize that if I'm being called, if the Lord is calling me to serve, and let's just put it into the application of whatever state of life you've been called to for your journey to holiness, single, married, parents, religious, priesthood, in that calling, each level of that requires service, requires humility, giving of yourself to the other, not letting everybody know, hey, I'm the governor of your place and I'm going to lord it over you. And then once that gift comes in and that to understand and receive that gift, what you then have is a sense of peace. Mm-hmm. So St. James got a hard lesson. Brother got a hard lesson. Mother got a hard lesson. And so did all the apostles because they were so outraged. Like, hey, who do these guys think they're doing? But Jesus, the reason why Jesus gives it right back to them is because they were probably all doing the same thing. But two were caught. Two were caught out. And he had to remind every single one of them, I have called you by name, like in the prophet Isaiah, you are mine. But in doing so, I call you to be a servant of the servants and to be on your feet, to wash the feet, to be on your knees, to roll up your sleeves, and to give of yourselves. So James comes to the point of being the first to say, I'm no longer afraid. I really got to reach out there and take the words and say, I'm not going to lord it over them, but I will be willing to serve my God, even if necessary, to the shedding of my blood. And so that's why the church today celebrates him. And they celebrate him in a special way because he was the first of the lot of the apostles to courageously say, I'm not afraid. I'm at peace. If you want to kill me, I'm at peace. Lord has already prepared this for me. It's beautiful, isn't it?
It really is beautiful. And I think you speak so, being a mother and loving my children, my seven, I have seven sons, and you always want the best for your children, right? You always are lifting them to the Lord, and that's all I do. I just lift them to the Father through the heart of Jesus and commend them into the Immaculate Heart to take them daily before the throne of God. But it's a desire of every parent's heart, but particularly a mother's heart, to want the very best for her kids. And it struck me when you kept saying her mom, you know, his mom said this. And, you know, I think looking at that from a, maybe even a different perspective, I think people, it's like the song, I know people in, you know, higher places or whatever it was called. Wasn't she actually the cousin to Our Lady? Wasn't she Zebedee's wife, the mother of James and John? Is that right?
Yes, yes, and tradition has it that they were all related in one form or another.
Yeah, yeah. And she probably felt she had an inside track, like many people. Oh, I know the bishop, or I know this, or I know that. And it still carries on this day in some form or some fashion. And I thought, you know, how beautifully Jesus addressed her. You don't know what you're asking. And oftentimes that's true for all of us. We don't know what we're asking. But if we seek, as Jesus was encouraging her to do, when he said, it isn't even mine to give, woman, you know. I mean, another scripture says, it isn't mine to give who's going to sit at my right and who's going to sit at my left, but the Father's. And he's trying to show her, you asking for this, you're not seeking any will but to raise your sons up. And I think you articulated that so beautiful. And from a mother's heart, and especially just coming off of the beautiful Eucharistic Congress, I heard so many different comments, you know, about, just about how, what they were getting out of this talk or that, and how they thought this speaker was better than that speaker. And believe me, they were all marvelous, all of them. And this speaker was so much better than that speaker. And I remember just shaking my head. And I was wondering, are we really listening to the message of the speakers, right? Are we listening? Do we have ears to hear and a heart to receive what they are saying, you know, what they are saying? And, you know, James's mother wasn't listening in her heart, in her mind, in her spirit. It didn't appear that she was listening to what God wanted, but what she wanted for her children. It doesn't even say that her children were asking her for that. You know, she was pushing for it, if you will. And at the Eucharistic Congress, somebody said, What was the most impressive thing to you? Like, what speaker? They were all about the speakers. And I'm a speaker. You're a speaker. You know that's powerful, and people are moved if you're open and you're decrease and he increases within you. I'm not trying to in any way. And I said, you know, just what I told you, Father. I said, you know, what spoke to my heart louder and clearer than anything is, what is Jesus saying to us through the speakers? What is Jesus saying to us through the bishops who spoke? What is Jesus saying to us? When I saw 500 plus priests and the deacons and the seminarians and so forth process in, and the one bishop each time carrying the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus, the Eucharistic King, Father, I lost my, takes my breath away. I was overwhelmed. And then seeing that, feeding the hungry, feeding him with his own flesh, his body and his blood, soul and divinity, he was saying more in that to show us this is what it's all about, the road to the kingdom. It's all about Jesus in the Eucharist. And it couldn't have been simpler to see that 50,000 plus people, and you could have heard a pin drop. Total silence. People in awe as Jesus walked among the people. I mean, you couldn't hear even a baby cry. Stillness. Be still and know that I am God. That was the greatest message, was without words, as St. Francis said, to look and see everybody in awe of what was taking place in their eyes. This was the church. This was the church we were experiencing, young, old, different, all different, you know, nationalities, all different colors, all different sizes. That was the church we were seeing. And to see and hear that that is the message. That's what all the speakers were saying. That is what all the bishops were saying. That is what everyone was saying. It is only Jesus in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity, that is the answer to all of our problems, and who wants to put all of us right next to him in the kingdom. Some on our right, his right, some on his left. Some surrounding him, some bending before him. That's it. It's Jesus in the Eucharist. It's all about Jesus being present among us. And that's what struck me more than anything. And I think with my seeing that with my own eyes and hearing what I heard, I got the messages. Came out so strong, was just for us to see him in our midst. He always is, he always was, he always will be. And now go and feed your brothers and sisters. Go and take the message back. Go and know that all of you are gifted, that all of you are called. And to me, that was the message I took away. Everybody takes the message differently. But in the midst of it, everyone, I believe, will agree that that was for sure the message. Entrusting their children, their homes, their families, their parishes, their businesses into the heart that walked among us.
You know, that's so beautiful. Let's just take the comparison of the mother who wasn't properly listening, so she's obviously misunderstanding and putting in her agenda.
Right.
And then you take this moment. I mean, not only was it powerful, but it had to be such a precious, sacred moment.
Yes.
Where just that procession alone,
yeah,
in all its awe and reverence, can and did diffuse and disarm all of those types of agendas in a split second.
Yeah.
When the heart is open, the ears are open to listen. And then you don't care what place you are in heaven. All you care about is that your heart can reach the heart of Jesus, and his heart will take care of yours.
Amen.
And then everything falls into place.
Yeah.
You mentioned so beautifully there about it was breathtaking.
Yeah.
I've been in a few of those.
Yeah.
And I can assure you, 500-plus clergy, I'm sure they were also in a moment of a breathtaking awe, where, like myself, that I would admit, I would be in tears.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I would be like an absolute basket case because when you recognize his presence, for me, that's all I need.
Yeah.
And then you're at peace.
Yeah.
Then you realize everything is okay.
And you know what, Father? I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
I was looking at, you know, the cardinals, the bishops, the priests. I saw two bishops crying when they were walking in. You know what? They, too, were in awe. They, too, were in awe to look at the people of God that had come in faith. And they were probably moved so deeply, like, hey, this is why God calls us. This is our mission. Look at the people. Look at their hunger and their thirst. And because of the gift of priesthood, we can feed them. I mean, this is the message I'm getting the whole time. And I saw priests with cameras, just like the people in the stadium, right? Not a stadium, whatever it was, the place it was. I saw people, priests with cameras, trying to take it in themselves. So I'm sure even the bishops, the cardinals, that had to be a B12 shot for all of them to see. Here are the people we are called to shepherd. You know, to see all them people, 50,000 plus, coming for one reason, to show their faith, reverence, and love and hope in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and his Eucharistic presence.
And not one of them was lording it over the people.
Exactly.
You just said it's there. It is exactly what it said in today's gospel. They saw their flock to whom the Lord has entrusted to shepherd, not to control, not to lord it over, but their flock to serve.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, that's it. And that's the answer of doing his, I'm total surrender to your will. Make this, you help me to lead and I will shepherd your people.
Yeah. And it was so affirming and confirming, I believe, not only to the people of God, all the sheep that were there, but to the shepherds.
Beautiful.
Yep. I do believe that. That's, and, you know, when I see any kind of procession, if it's what priests walking in, like you walking with the Blessed Sacrament or whoever when we're doing a retreat, you've heard me say so. It takes my breath away. I can't even talk. Poor Mary B. I was trying to tell her. I was trying to say, look, what I said to you, I was going to say to her. And she looked at me. I just had tears rolling down my face. I couldn't even talk. And all I said was, there, this takes my breath away.
Wow. So wonderful.
Yeah. I know you only have a half hour, and we only have...
And unfortunately, those 30 minutes have passed.
Yes, here too, I see, yeah. Well, we always can't believe how that hour goes. So, Father, we pray for your Father.
Now I'm really on fire, and I would have hoped to spend the next half hour with you, but
yeah.
As some other circumstances, naturally, and responsibilities I have to grab.
Exactly.
So in advance, I want to thank you for this time. To all the listeners, thank you again. And with God's help, we'll be together next week again.
Amen. God bless you, Father.
God bless you, Kathleen. Bye-bye.
All right, don't go away. We're going to take a short break.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, pardon me. As always, it's beautiful. Just seems a really busy time. I know for myself and him as well. But it's always a blessing to hear his voice and to somebody just said that, I think it was. Let me just see if I can see who said that. Somebody just made that comment and how good it was to, you know, to hear his voice and to be on today. And, you know, it's so true. We have to remember that the voice we're always listening to and for is indeed, and that was Tricia LaPerch that said that hearing Father's voice today. All of us, every single one of us, have ears to hear and a heart to receive. And yes, we want the best for our children. Yes, we want, you know, we want them, I know I'll speak for myself and I know I'm speaking for every one of you. We want our children to enter into the kingdom of God. We want our children to enter into eternal life. That's the most important desire for us mothers, for us fathers, it is our heart's desire that our children, our loved ones, our mates, matter of fact, talking about mates, the role of a husband and a wife are really to see that each other get to heaven. That's our role in marriage. Each one would have the desire and to help their mate into heaven. For all of us to know and believe that regardless of how our children are called, when they're called, and in the ways that they're called, sometimes they're in the ways we would least expect. Sometimes we want to be the ones to open their minds and hearts and their spirit. But sometimes it's for another who will be in their life that will share their story, that will be alive with Christ too. And it'll be something that they needed to hear at that moment. But God indeed hears all of our prayers from our heart to his heart, heart to heart. You know, I was going to do a program, but also a televised program. And I called it heart to heart. And a good friend of mine, you know her well, and I don't want to put anybody on the spot, she approached me about doing something like that, and we were trying to think of a name, and I said heart to heart. From my heart to his heart, from his heart to my heart, and then to all hearts. I hope that will someday come to pass. I don't know. It was put on a back burner for a while, and then I just never got back to it. But it's always heart to heart. And because it is heart to heart, I'm going to remind you that you are my own team of evangelists that the Lord told me he would send, that he would bless those who bless me. That's you. And he told me that you really are my team of evangelists. That's who he is sending to me. And as that team, I have seen you from retreat to retreat to retreat. So many of you grow so powerfully in the Spirit. This is a desire, it should be the desire of every evangelist's heart. To give all that you have received, all. Not hold stuff back so everybody thinks you're so special and, oh, this person does this and they hear this and they do this. No. But to give it all to God, to give to others through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that all would know that they have gifts. And I've been preaching that for 48 years, that all are gifted and all are called. You might not be called into ministry, and you may be, but you might not be called into ministry you like or you think you should be called in. But Jesus is calling each and every one of us. And the desire of every evangelist's heart, whether it's a lay evangelist, a priest that goes out there and evangelizes, a sister, whatever, music evangelist, a great music to pray, to sing is to pray twice, anointed ministries. My own young grandson is breaking, you know, breaking waves, shall I say, into that business of music, to not only sing, but to realize to sing is to pray twice, as St. Augustine said. And so you and I, as evangelists, as you as my team of evangelists, I would ask you to hit your share button and to send this forth indiscriminately. Don't say, I'll send it to this one, but I'll leave that one out. It might be the very word they needed to hear today. And if we trust the Lord, as we should, then we'll just send it out. And trust that no matter how they receive it, that God had it to come to them for his purpose and his plan, and that he'll work in it and through it, and it'll be you that impacted those lives. It'll be you that had an integral part of planting seeds, of watering the seeds, of being that light to dispel darkness. In the end, we're called to plant the seeds. We might not be the ones that water it and make it grow. Only God can make it grow. Only the Holy Spirit can make those seeds grow. But we're called to sow the seed. We're called to be his hands, his feet, his voice out there. And not to be afraid to share your faith. Not to be worried about what other people will think. And not to share it, to lord it over anyone. Not to point a finger and say, hey, you're wrong. You don't believe this, or you're living wrong. You know, you're living wrong. you don't believe in God. It's to say, come and see. God loves you. And allow the Lord to use you to be the Bible that maybe somebody will never pick up a Bible. But as my dear friend said to me one time, I was the Bible she read. And it impacted her life till she opened her heart, her mind, and her spirit. That's the beauty of a believer. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. We're his children. You know, when I was little, and I'm sure you guys too, you know, didn't you want people to meet your mommy and your dad? Didn't you, for most cases, and there were some, obviously, some broken parents and some broken families and broken hearts. But when you meet that person that you fall in love with, one of the first things you want is for your parents to meet them, or your mother to meet them, or your father to meet them. It's just a natural thing. And so the Lord wants us to go out into the world and to live the gospel, to be that living Bible. And by the Spirit of God working in our lives, flowing out of us, that living water of the Spirit, drenching everyone we come in contact with, so that they too can become witnesses for the living God. It's his word, and his word is activated in us by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that fire of the Holy Spirit in you, in everyone listening today, and yes, you especially, that fire of the Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit flowing out of you can ignite a fire in the hearts of all those that you come in contact with. And yes, by speaking his word, but more importantly, being his witness by living the gospel, by being authentic. And that's who gathered there at the Eucharistic Congress. People wanted to reverence Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. Some did come to see. You know, probably many families brought their children, and including many teenagers, many young adults. But so many young adults were there on their own. Just come. They came to see. They came to encounter Jesus. And they experienced Jesus wanting to be close to them, wanting to heal their hearts, comfort their souls, where they were anxious and fearful, where they were had broken relationships, broken hearts. He was there to bring healing and love and grace. In so many people's lives, there's turmoil. He was there to give peace and light and love, to dispel the turmoil. He was there to remind us that in the greatest storms, especially those that are about to hit us, that he is in the midst of it. Like in the storm when his apostles thought he was sleeping, what did they cry out? Lord, don't you care? You're sleeping through this. Don't you care? We're about to die. And who was really sleeping? It was the apostles. He had told them. They knew who he was. They knew he was the Lord. They called him Lord. Master, Lord. And yet, when that fear storm hit right away, don't you care about us? Where are you? Wake up. How could you sleep while we're about ready to die? In these storms that will hit us, we must remember that we must stay awake and know that he's not slumbering, because the scripture said he never slumbers. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. And so for us, we have to remember that he's always with us. And what is, you know, what will come, will come. And he doesn't want us to be afraid. Fear is not of him. He wants to fill us with courage and hope. He wants to fill us with the fire of God's love. Just like when he said to me, he asked me, will I give him a yes to take over this Catholic radio apostle? That's all he wanted. He didn't tell me I had to. He didn't force himself on me. He proposed it. And when I knew it was the Lord, I said, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Send me. Yes, Lord, I will go. And that's what he wants in these times of darkness. This is what he wants from you and I, because he will never leave us. He's not going to be sleeping through the storms. He's going to be working all these things together for greater good. He's going to be healing. I've been saying this for years, and now we are upon that time. This is a time of Eucharistic miracles. This is a time of God showing off and showing the world that there is no power like the power of the living God at work in us, and he will work all things together for good in the midst of all that will take place, because he's goodness. And this battle is between darkness and light. It's between eternal life or eternal death. And the choice is us, where we go. It's really up to us. He gives us, can you imagine a God that loves so much? He gives us the freedom to walk away or to stay with him. All we need to be promised, not riches or wealth if you deny him, not I'll spare your life if you deny him, not I'll take care of your family if you deny him. All he wants is for us to love him above all else and to trust all that we love into his sacred heart through the immaculate heart of his mother. And his mother's heart will triumph. Not maybe it will. Not you hope it will. It will. His mother's heart will triumph. She's our spiritual mother. And if we can do everything that we do, trying to bless our children, to take care of them, to be a comfort to them, to be a counselor to them, how much more than the mother of God? How much more Jesus' own mother, who says, behold. You know, in the scriptures, the Lord doesn't say, John, behold your mother. Think of that. He says, behold your mother. He didn't say John's name, because it wasn't just for John. He was telling John to take care of his mother. Behold your mother. The message was Jesus giving us his mother from the cross. Behold your mother. John says, scriptures say, from that day on, that very day, Jesus took Mary under his own roof. How many people still say today, you Catholics worship Mary? If we give any inclination of that, that's wrong. We don't worship anybody but our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What we do is honor and reverence and love Mary. She was Jesus' own mother, and he gave her to all from the cross. And so we can entrust our families, all that we have, into her loving care. And if someone says you worship her, you know, you have statues in your house of Mary. Nobody should have statues in your house. Or you have a picture of the Sacred Heart in your home or the Immaculate Heart in your home. You worship? No. No, we don't worship anybody but Jesus Christ. We worship our Father, our Son, and the Holy Spirit. We love Mary. We reverence her. But we worship and adore Jesus Christ. And I said to someone very close to me one time many years ago, I said, you know, he had left the church. I said, you know, he threw all the rosaries away and no reference to Our Lady ever again. And I said, you know, I want you to think about this. You have a picture of Mommy. Well, obviously it was a brother. You have a picture of Mommy on your mantle. Do you worship her? You should take that picture and throw it away then. You were raised as a Catholic. You know we don't worship Mary. You know we love her. We reverence her. We treat her with love and dignity because she is the mother of Jesus Christ. And no, I know you don't worship her, meaning my mother, but yet you love her. And you, that picture reminds you of her love. And that's how it is with our Mother Mary. That's how it is with the picture of the Blessed Mother, her little statue, or picture of the Sacred Heart or Jesus. We look at that and it's a reminder to help us always remember that Jesus paid the price for us through his passion, death, and resurrection, that his mother took all of us when he said, Mother, behold your son. He was saying to all humanity, Son, behold your mother. That's when John said, that's when the scriptures say, from that day forward, he took Mary into his house. Don't ever be afraid of taking the Blessed Mother, inviting her into your home, ever. That's from the enemy, because he hates the Blessed Mother. That's why he spews these lies to people who don't know the truth and believe it, that we worship Mary, because he doesn't want them to. Believe me, you can't separate the mother from the son. They were joined together at every single instance in their lives from birth. even till the end in the upper room. Mary's role, and this is her only role, is to take each of us to the pure side of her son Jesus. And she will, and she came into the world, she came into the world in the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, she was chosen. And she came into the world to bring us Jesus through the incarnation. Now her role is to bring each of us to her son Jesus. So my brothers and sisters, please pray and commend all those who do not love her, do not understand her, do not believe. Commend them into Our Lady's heart, and she will draw them to the pure, sacred heart of her son. And he will infuse them with wisdom and knowledge and understanding to know that he alone is God, and that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And it's all grace, has nothing to do with anything else. We can't earn our way to heaven, but we can be obedient to what the scriptures tell us. That Jesus Christ, as Peter said, you are the Son of God. And Peter said after that, Jesus said after that, no mere man has taught you this. This has come to you from my Father above. My brothers and sisters, we're at the end of this program. I praise and thank God for each and one of you. I love you, and I mean it. And I ask you to pray for me for a special intention, if you would be so kind. And then I ask you to hit those share buttons and let the word go out. And you be an instrument of evangelization to impact those lives. It feels like a short day on Thursday because I only do 1 hour now. But I encourage you to stay in on and listen to Dr. Anton Raimondo, who comes on immediately after I leave here. He's got a beautiful program. He's got a beautiful heart. And I must say, I congratulate Monsignor on his last program on Monday. Beautiful. I encourage you all to move along with him as a companion on the journey to his Friday program. And for Mondays, please welcome back Ann McGlone. God bless you, and know that God alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, behold your mother. God bless you.